WCHS and the Junior League of Charleston, in cooperation with the Kanawha County Board of Education, present the sixth in the series of programs, Exploring Your State. These programs are heard in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grades of Kanawha County Schools. Today's program, heard twice at 9:45 a.m. and at 2:45 p.m. to accommodate schools with split sessions, is entitled Morris Harvey, the Man, and is written by Ann Taylor Snyder. Hello, boys and girls. This is Ned Scaff welcoming you back to Exploring Your State. And today, I'm going to tell you about a man whose name you all know, Morris Harvey. His name is familiar to you because of the college right here in Charleston across the river from the Capitol is named for him. But how many of you know who he was and what he did? Not many, I'll bet, because he never said very much about himself. So settle back, and I'll tell you what I found out. Hello, boys and girls. Many of you may want to go to college, but there wouldn't be any place for a lot of you if it hadn't been for a boy who sat on the banks of the old Kanawha River way back in 1822. You know, that's 136 years ago, and he listened to the riverboats as they paddled up and down the stream. The boy on the bank was a lad who lived in a big brick house. His name was Morris Harvey. When he was a young man, like you, he played along the Kanawha River, where the town of Kennelton now stands. And sometimes he would ride on horseback with his dashing father, John Harvey. Morris was proud of his father, and well he might be, for his father was a fine horseman. Young Morris Harvey didn't know as he grew up how important it would be to boys and girls 125 years later that his aunt and uncle had come to visit him often from Fayette County. People enjoyed coming to the Harvey house, and Morris Harvey's uncle liked it too. Why, Morris had six brothers and sisters to play with, and the whole family had a good time when guests came to call. And when the fun was over, and his younger brothers and sisters had gone to bed, Morris would stay up and listen to the older men talk. He was delighted when his uncle said, "Morris, you're a good boy. Why don't you come back to Fayette County with me? Why, boy, I'll give you a job in my store, and you can have some real money all your own. Why, nephew, you'll be so rich, there's no telling what you'll do with all that money. No, sir, boy, there's just no telling." So Morris Harvey left his big brick home on the riverbank and went to work in his uncle's store. And while he did the chores, he would listen to the older men of the county discussing politics, government, and finance. And being able to listen to these men for young Morris was almost as good as going to school. The pay was not much, and Morris learned to save his money. With any extra penny he could save, Morris bought land. Piece of rugged West Virginia land. And the years went by, and little by little, Morris Harvey built up his reputation until many people knew the bright-faced young man with the stern blue eyes. And as the years rolled along, Morris Harvey's early training in Fayette County politics stood him in good stead. Always, he was active in county affairs, and was elected to county offices on several occasions. He served as high sheriff of the county twice and had one term as county jailer when he earned the astounding salary of $15 for a six-month term. There are many legends in Fayette of the day when Morris Harvey was sheriff, for he was a good one and just about the best tax collector the county ever had, as a matter of fact. Once, the story goes, Sheriff Harvey rode out to a small settlement to collect the county tax. The people of the town all claimed to be so poor that they could pay nothing. They had no money, no sheep, no cattle, nothing except barely enough to eat. So, feeling sorry for such destitute people, Morris Harvey turned for home. But as he rode away, he noticed a herd of sleek, fat cattle behind one of the cabins. Realizing that he had been fooled, he collected the cattle and began driving them back to the county seat. At once, angry men popped from every cabin around the place. And when Morris Harvey faced these angry men, he said, I thought you had no cattle here. When I asked you for your tax money, you told me you had no money. And here I find these fine cows. So now either you give me your tax money, or I shall take the cattle to town with me and sell them for your tax. And so the angry men paid their taxes, every one of them. Morris Harvey's first term as sheriff made him very popular. His term was interrupted by the Civil War. He was still sheriff when the Civil War started, and although he was over 40 years old, and though he had never owned any slaves, Morris Harvey enlisted on the side of the Confederacy. Little is known about what happened to him during these years of war. Those who knew Morris Harvey said that in later years, he seemed determined to forget that chapter of his life. One of the few stories that did come back shows how close he was to his family. For although he was in his 40s, he became homesick during the campaign, and since his Rangers were patrolling the area near Marmette, he obtained a leave to visit his sister and her family who lived nearby. On his way through the woods to her house, he heard footsteps. Quickly ducking into a hollow tree, he waited breathlessly while a full company of Union soldiers marched by within just a few feet of him. He intended, the story tells, to swim the river to his sister's home. But luck was on his side that night, and when he reached the river's bank, he found a boat there and was able to reach his destination under cover of night. He visited with the family by night, hid in an abandoned mine by day, where a faithful old servant brought him food. Morris Harvey, according to one old newspaper report, must have been something of a hero, for there's an article which says that he was a spy and tells of his bringing in five men single-handed. When the war was over, Morris Harvey went back to Fayette County to serve another term as sheriff and one as jury commissioner to the county court. He was always present at meetings about county affairs, and while he said little, he was ready to pitch in and do his share to help afterward. If somebody's land was to be divided up, he was one of the people chosen to see to it that there was fair play. If land was to be valued, he was one of the people chosen to set a fair price. If a road had to be laid out or a report made on the need for a new road, he was one of the men appointed to do the work. Morris Harvey became one of the founders of the Fayette National Bank. And then he was one of the men who helped the Chesapeake and Ohio Railroad to get started. He not only gave the railroad right of way through his land, he also raised money to back the new company. But because Morris Harvey always spent all of his money buying property and seldom had any cash money in order to make a living, he and a friend sawed logs and floated them down the river to Fayette Station. When Morris Harvey was 50 years old, he was married to Rosalpha Moore Dickinson. Rosa Dickinson, many years younger than her husband, was the daughter of one of Morris Harvey's very good friends. For some time, Harvey lived with the Dickinsons in Kanawha County, watching and waiting for Rosa to grow up. And indeed, she did grow up into a woman of refined taste and cultured manners, gentle, kind, and loyal. Mrs. Harvey had great influence over her husband for most of his life, particularly in matters of religion. The year of 1871 was an important one for Morris Harvey. He not only was married, but he also was converted to the Methodist Episcopal religion. Years after, the Harveys erected a small chapel on the site of the schoolhouse where Morris Harvey was baptized. Although he was always a religious and law-abiding man, it was not until after his marriage and his conversion that Morris Harvey became truly dedicated to the work of the church. He became interested in establishing Methodist Episcopal churches in Fayette County and the counties nearby. He had a part in planning the building, perfecting the church organization, and in securing ministers. He always gave generously to churches of all denominations in that area. Several years after their marriage, Morris Harvey took his wife to a home he had built for her, a two-story log cabin in the country near Fayetteville. In those days, there were deer roaming in the woods, and Morris used to boast that he killed three deer in his front yard one day with only one shot. Although Morris had no children of his own, a nephew came to live with the Harveys, and they raised him as if he were their own child. During these years, too, coal was discovered on some of the very first land that Morris Harvey had bought so long ago. And suddenly, he became a rich man. And as he grew older, his fortune increased. But he never forgot his humble beginnings. As an old man, rich, respected, and beloved by so many people, Morris Harvey kept his interest in the education of young people. He turned his particular interest to a struggling young Methodist Episcopal school, Barbersville College. It was first located near Huntington and later moved to Charleston. On several occasions, Morris gave the school large sums of money. And when Mrs. Harvey died, Morris left their entire estate to this school. In 1906, after Morris Harvey had given generously to the school, the officials of this college changed the name of the school to Morris Harvey College, and his name remains alive in one of the state's finest schools. When you pass the bright new buildings of Morris Harvey College and see the students carrying their books, growing up to be wiser and happier people, remember that boy waving at the steamboat over 125 years ago, and remember Morris Harvey, how thousands of young people are able to go to college right here in Charleston just because of him. WCHS and the Junior League of Charleston, in cooperation with the Kanawha County Board of Education, have presented the sixth in the series of programs Exploring Your State. Today's program, heard at 9:45 and also at 2:45 to accommodate the schools with split sessions, was heard in the 4th, 5th, and 6th grades of Kanawha County Schools and was entitled Morris Harvey, the Man, and was written by Ann Taylor Snyder. Your narrator, Ned Scaff. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time for another edition of Exploring Your State. And next week's program will be called Booker T. Washington. Exploring Your State is another free educational presentation of WCHS News Radio, 580 Charleston, West Virginia.
Machines moved into the mines, as towns grew up where other jobs were to be had, and as the tall timber began to disappear, as roads were built for the new machines called automobiles, whole families moved out of the hollows. Often, they left their music behind. If they took it with them, it became lost in the whir and clatter of the big towns and cities. The airwaves of radio and television bounced and tossed it back and forth across the nation until it became something quite different. And so it's back into the hollows that we must go today to hear and record the old music sung and played in the old way. It's as though these Appalachian mountains had been carefully guarding this great wealth of music. It's a priceless treasure that we mountaineers can preserve and give to the whole world, our musical heritage.